This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Monster test coming up this weekend for the Broncos as they get set to take on the defending Super Bowl champs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Joining me now to help us break into that one and maybe determine if he really believes the Broncos have a shot here this weekend. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, my friend, great to catch up with you. Missed you last week. I was off last week. Had a, not mine, but my child's tonsils. Had a little tonsillectomy action going on. So not a fun week at my house.
No, not so fun. But glad that's all taken care of and cleared up, and you're back in the driver's seat where you belong.
Yeah, back here, ready to go, talking Broncos football with you. And, you know, last we saw this Broncos team, they go up against a bad Bengals team. It's amazing how Joe Burrow just makes that team what it is. And then when you take him off, it kind of reminds me of the Colts, the year that they, you know, when Peyton Manning was out for the season and they were the worst team in football. It kind of looks like that when you're watching this Bengals team, but the Broncos take advantage and they left no doubt winning 28-3, almost everything you'd like to see in a game like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you got to handle business against the teams you got to handle business against. The idea of getting back to 2-2 versus 1-3, I know there's a there, but the reality is the world of difference. You know, 2-2, you're already at 500. 1-3, you can't get to 500 till week six. So it's, you know, there's a world of difference in that, and a psychological difference that I think is helping this team out. And you had the opportunity to kind of work a few things out and try a few things out. I still think we threw the ball a little too much, but trying to get the offense, the passing offense on track, I sort of get it. So we'll see how that carries forward this week.
What did you see from Bo Nix? I mean, a couple things you like. I mean, obviously a lot of the discussion around the Broncos is going to continue to be the growth and progression of Bo Nix. 326 yards, 2 touchdowns, did have the interception he threw in the end zone. But like you said, threw it 42 times. A lot of tosses for Bo Nix.
Yeah, and the dropbacks were even more than that because some of those he took off and ran on. So we were close to 50 times dropping back in that game against a bad Bengals team. That's a wrong answer. We definitely don't need to be doing that late in the season. You know, the run game was working. I would have liked to have seen Bidet get some more carries. But that's neither here nor there. I think it was just really about trying to get the timing down on the offense and get some of these receivers in rhythm. We saw Troy have a couple of drops, didn't like that. But, you know, Bo's been hit or miss the first couple of weeks, and I think they just want to get him settled down, get him comfortable, get him in a rhythm, and see if that'll carry forward to Philadelphia.
Well, and it was nice to see. It's still, I wouldn't mind. I know J.K. Dobbins has the injury history there, but, you know, you get 16 carries for him. R.J. Harvey finally got some carries, 14 carries, a good chunk there. But you finally get over that hump, and you get a 100-yard rusher with J.K. Dobbins. I mean, Benjamin, if he can stay healthy, if you keep feeding him the rock, I mean, wouldn't you imagine we're going to see more of these type of games?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're going to see, I think that split was a little bit high. They knew they wanted to get Harvey some extra work if they got out to a big lead. I don't think Harvey's going to get that many carries in most other games. It'll be Dobbins with the lion's share of that kind of stuff. They did want to get him some work, though, and they did. I think the main thing now is trying to get the tight end position going. You know, Evan Engram had, what, 4 catches, but it was minimal yardage. Troutman had the big play. You got to figure out a way to get that tight end position, you know, going, because that's going to create vertical and horizontal space for the rest of the passing game.
What is in your as far as analysis and stuff, when you look at Evan Engram, obviously banged up a little bit too, but all offseason we're hearing about the Joker stuff and how he's going to be kind of this multifaceted type tight end. What's 4 catches for 29 yards. I, looking at this game specifically or any game coming up, I just want to see more of the potential plan for a guy like Engram.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ingram's been a guy whose productivity on a per-throw basis has been declining for like 6 years. I'm hoping that, you know, they didn't think they were getting the Evan Ingram from half a decade ago. He can still be a viable weapon. He moves like a receiver with the ball in his hands. I just don't think they're doing it right. I think you need to bring him across the field on crossers, put the ball in his hands and let him outrun a linebacker, or get him lined up against a corner on a screen play and let him power over a corner. Those are the kind of the ways you succeed with him. So they've tried a few things, but I think that's probably your home. That's, you know, a between the 20s guy who can win with those two routes.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Defensively, again, almost perfection for the Broncos. Only allow 3 points to the Bengals, and you have that pass rush that's added again. You know, last year, what'd they have, Benjamin? 65 sacks last season, 15 right now, leading the NFL. Nick Bonito, of course, already delivering on that contract extension. This defense maybe needed a game like that. Not that they've been bad, but I think we expected a lot from this crew early on, and they've been solid, but getting a game like that under your belt might be one of those kind of launching points for this defense that's expected to be one of the tops in the league.
Yeah, I mean, the worrisome thing was the Bengals kind of went down and marched down and got that field goal on the scripts. Now, they couldn't do anything else the rest of the game, but, you know, they ran the ball, they threw the ball to the back effectively, and we're up against Saquon Barkley, who's a little bit better than Chase Brown this week. So that's one thing to kind of keep your eyebrow raised, keep your eyes on in this one. The Eagles' offense is fascinating to me. They're worst in the NFL in passing yards per game. They're exactly middle of the league in rushing yards per game, and yet somehow seventh in the league in points per game. You know, they feast on turnovers, sustained drives. They take advantage of opportunities. So you're going to have to be, this defense is going to have to tighten things up. The penalties have got to go away. You've got to be a team that is perfect in every facet of the game. That's what the Eagles' standard is. That's why they won the Super Bowl. And the Broncos are going to have to emulate that part of their game in order to be successful in Philly on Sunday.
It is strange with the Eagles. Everything you just mentioned there. I mean, they're not dominating in any major stat other than, like you said, seventh in points per game. You know, Saquon Barkley hasn't really taken off yet. Those star receivers haven't really put together those monster games. But you got blocked field goals. You got blocked punts. Like you said, taking advantage of those turnovers. This is just a team that knows how to win by any means necessary. And we've seen that in these first 4 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's kind of the way you have to look at it right now. You know, kind of compared them to Kansas City last year, where you're like, oh, there's no way this is sustainable. They'll fall off any minute. And then you wake up and they finish the season 15-2. And the only reason they finished that way is because they played their backups in the final game of the season against the Broncos. You know, they could have been 16-1. So, you know, the Eagles, they find ways to give themselves the maximum amount of success. They play the percentages, things that we have not exactly done here in Denver. And so we see the results of all that play itself out, and I think we could do well to take that page out of their book.
What concerns you about this game? When you look at the Eagles, I've been talking about this week, is like, okay, they haven't really dominated in a lot of those areas that they dominate in. Is one of those games coming? That's what I worry about, is not only do the Eagles know how to win games, but they start getting everything else cooking. Do you fear something like that happening this Sunday?
Maybe. I mean, specifically with the run game and Saquon Barkley, we are the lightest defense in the NFL, and that could present a bit of a problem against a guy like Saquon who's got speed and power. I don't think they're going to get the pass game going this week. You know, and Kevin Petullo is a guy who's just kind of failed up his whole career and found himself as offensive coordinator of the Eagles now. You know, I didn't think Kellen Moore was the be-all, end-all, but he had that offense humming. This thing looks like something's missing. Defensively, though, they've got a lot of strength and power. I'm concerned about the center position for the Broncos versus their interior defensive linemen, who are animals. So, you know, there are some things that I'm definitely very concerned about when you look at the matchups here.
And the spread, we're looking at a Broncos 3.5-point dogs, Benjamin. How are we feeling? Broncos, that's the big narrative around the Broncos, is they're a good team that maybe can't beat better teams at this stage.
Yeah, that's kind of been the narrative on Sean Payton his whole career. He beats up on bad teams and pads the totals there and then loses to good teams. We'll see. I don't feel like this is going to be a win for the Broncos. You got a lot of things going against you. You're going west to east. for an early game on a short week. I mean, you were playing Monday Night Football. They were already off on Monday, so they got an extra day of preparation. And you're leaving from there to head to London, so your eyes may be on that. It's just a lot of things stacked up before you even get to the on-field product for the Broncos. 3.5 spread, it seems about right. These teams are – neither one of these teams are blow the doors off your teams. They tend to play a slower pace, so the game probably winds up a little closer. If you get lucky in the turnover margin, you have yourself a shot. But I'm probably pegging the Eagles to win this one.
You like them to cover that?
At 3.5 is an interesting thing. Maybe. I don't know. If the Broncos lose the turnover battle, they're not covering that. If they win it, they can cover it or win the game.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. A big test for sure coming up this weekend. Benjamin, my friend, always appreciate your insight, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, man. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. All right, so he thinks it's going to be a close game. This is the thing with the Eagles. They do have that feel of the Chiefs from last year. You know, the Chiefs just won games. They weren't, like, Mahomes had one of his worst years as far as, like, stats and everything, but they just found ways to get it done. And then ultimately they lost in the Super Bowl. And now they're kind of in a weird spot right here. The Eagles are just intimidating because I look at teams when you find ways to win as opposed to dominating. It's like, well, wait, their studs aren't even really going yet. Saquon Barkley hasn't been the same guy that he was last season. Not bad, but he's not. The guy ran for 2,000 yards. He's got 237 yards. Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown haven't lit it up. You know, and A.J. Brown had to clarify his whatever his Instagram post was or whatever that was. I don't have it in front of me, but he said it, you know, none of it was about the Eagles and the organization. But it's like, man, when you have a 4-0 team and you have to have one of your best players come out and say, yeah, a post I made wasn't about my team. But what's fascinating is this team is 7th in points per game. Well, they've had a blocked field goal for a touchdown. They've had against Tampa Bay last week, they had a blocked punt for a touchdown. Special teams is a bit of a concern, too. So that's where the negative side of my brain goes. Okay, we ain't seen nothing yet from the Eagles in their 4-0, and it's not like they're just beating, you know, lesser teams. I actually think Dallas is going to be okay. I know that's probably an unpopular opinion. They beat Kansas City, and I think Kansas City's probably going to be there in the, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of the season. They'll be at least a playoff team. The Los Angeles Rams, I know they lost last night, but I think that's a team that could do some damage. And then Tampa Bay. Those are all four, in my opinion, not everybody's opinion, all four of those teams should or might be in the playoffs this year. And then you look at it from the Broncos' standpoint, it's changed a little bit, but the Titans certainly a bad team. They're not going to be a playoff team. And the Bengals, the same situation. Those are the two teams you beat. The Colts and the Chargers, I think people are starting to feel kind of confident that they, certainly with the Chargers, although they lost to the Giants last week, but with the Colts, they might be a playoff team too. So these are the games, man. I mean, I've heard some of the narrative like, oh, you're playing with house money. You got nothing to lose. Everybody expects you to lose this game. It's just a foregone conclusion. So whatever. It's like a whatever kind of game. I don't know how you want to say that. I don't look at it that way. You know, if you're like Michael back there and your expectations are through the roof, then you need to go out and try to find a way to do this thing. Sean Payton's talking about Super Bowls and talking about Bo Nix being a top quarterback in the league. These are the kind of games in Sean Payton's third year now as head coach where you want to believe that they have a real chance, and that's a 3.5-point spread. So the wise guys certainly think they have a real chance. This could either go, okay, the Eagles still don't get those numbers up with their stars, and it finally catches up to them, and the Broncos win. Or this is a game where the Eagles finally get everything else going on top of just knowing how to win. And something else you got to watch out for. Did you see that against Tampa Bay last week? The fake tush push? Did you see that? I kept waiting for that to happen. And it was, you know, acted like going to just do your tush push, sneak up, get the yards. There's a pitch out to Saquon Barkley. Ran for a touchdown. So, I mean, they just have, they're just a good, well-coached football team. So it's going to be a battle. 11:49 the time. We'll wrap up hour number one. I got Ethan Bird joining me. Wyoming coming up against UNLV this weekend. UNLV's 4-0, but I don't know why, but it doesn't feel like they're 4-0. But then the Cowboys still have their issues on the offensive side of the ball. Let's talk to Ethan about that game coming up. Brian Howell will join us as CU and TCU square off this weekend. TCU is a pretty heavy favorite in this game, so we'll talk about that. We got the quarterback toilet bowl with Danson, with himself, Tanner Schwint. The dude down the hall will join me as well. We got that coming up. And of course, Michael, the picks. We're going to do the pressure cooker as well. This is a big, big weekend, especially tonight for the Colorado State Rams. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. It's Football Friday, presented by the one and only Big City Roadhouse.
City Roadhouse presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.